Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Unraveling. Today I'd really like to talk about the first trimester of pregnancy and why I think it's really important to talk about this, because it is often referred to as the invisible trimester. And I actually only learned that recently, and I heard someone calling it the invisible trimester, and it suddenly was like, oh yes, that really resonated with me, because there is just so many emotions in sort of under the surface, but also it's a time where we're not, you know, quote, supposed to talk about things because of it being so early in pregnancy. So I wanted to talk to you today about my experience in the first trimester, the things that helped me, and then some of the lessons I guess I learned through that, and how I navigated some of the feelings and the emotions and the roller coaster that it was to be in that space. So first of all, the first trimester is referred to in the first 12 to 14 weeks of pregnancy. And I think that it's you often hear that people don't tell people about their pregnancy until after the 12-week scan, because there is less risk of miscarriage, and the pregnancy is a little bit more secure and stronger at this point. Of course, that doesn't mean that things don't happen after this date, but generally speaking, it's a much lower percentage. I am really mindful that people listening to this may have experienced many different things. You may have experienced multiple miscarriages. You may have experienced late miscarriages. There is many things that you may have experienced and that I didn't experience. So I'm sharing this from my experience only, and I can only speak from my experience. I do hope that there will be people on the podcast coming soon that can talk about this from different perspectives as well. So please just know that this is my experience of the first trimester, the invisible trimester. And by no means is this an exclusive experience. And this isn't by no means the only way that people experience this time. So I'll go back to I'm going to talk to you from the very beginning, from when I actually found out I was expecting Sophia. People often find out in weird ways. I had a dream, and I don't actually remember what the dream was, but in January 2019, I had missed a period. Well, I say I missed, but because I had such irregular periods, it didn't really occur to me that pregnancy was an option, to be perfectly honest. So I had also moved house and had been going through quite a lot of stressful situations in that time. So I didn't really think anything of it. And then I had a dream one Saturday night, and in the dream, I don't know what happened in the dream, but I remember waking up about 2 o'clock in the morning and just knowing that I needed to do a pregnancy test in the morning. I have no idea why. But I just knew I needed to. So the next morning, I found an old pregnancy test that I'd had in the bathroom from I don't even know when. And I did the pregnancy test, and this line came up, which suggested it was positive. And I instantly was like, well, you know, this is an old test. I'm not entirely sure if this is right. I was on my own at this point. And I thought, I'll wait. I'll go down to the shops. I'll get that test, like one of the tests that says very specifically if you're pregnant or not. And I will do that. So waited for about 3 hours for the shops to open because it was a Sunday morning, and ended up sort of whizzing down, getting this test, coming home and doing the test and just staring at it, being like, okay, so it says pregnant. And at that moment, there was so many emotions going through my mind, but the predominant emotion, which stayed with me for the whole of pregnancy, was of excitement and amazement and pure joy, and just knowing that this was supposed to happen. And I felt really trusting of that. However, after that initial response, so I think that was like my first instinctive response, but then of course my sort of thinking mind came into it and started to work through all the scenarios and all the uncertainties and all the anxieties and the what ifs and the, oh my God, like this is actually happening. But I knew, I always kept myself connected to that first feeling, because I knew that that was a really powerful feeling, even if it had only lasted for, you know, a few seconds before the slight, you know, fear set in. So from that moment on, I remember feeling at that point not really that different in my body, other than my breasts being a little tender, which they often were before a period anyway. So I had just put it down to me coming onto my period. My instant thought was, oh my God, I'm not feeling sick. I'm not feeling exhausted. I'm not feeling all those things that people say you're supposed to feel in order for the pregnancy to be healthy. And also, I haven't been taking prenatal supplements. I haven't been, you know, I'd had a few drinks over Christmas. I had been eating whatever I wanted. I hadn't been kind of preparing as I would have been had it been specifically planning. So I kind of went into, oh, what if I've done harm? And of course, I spoke to a very, very good friend of mine who reassured me that I hadn't. And it was funny because this is a time where you want to share this news with people, but there's just so much fear as well, and so much uncertainty that sharing with lots of people can feel really daunting. So the first thing that I would say is that it is really important to share, and it is really important to share with people that you know will be supportive and hold space for your worries. It's sometimes we have to be quite selective with who we share with to begin with, and that's for our own protection, but sometimes also for other people's protection. One of the reasons I didn't share on Instagram until I was, I think, 22 weeks. I think it was 22 weeks, because it was after the 20-week scan, was because I was very aware, having gone through my own set of fertility struggles in their own way, I was very aware of the potential to cause upset and to cause people to feel triggered by my news if they weren't able to be in that same position themselves. And so I had to be really careful of that. And I did think of that quite a lot. And that was, I was quite nervous of sharing my news with people, because I knew there were people that had experienced a lot of pain around fertility and around pregnancy and baby loss. And it felt quite risky to share my news with some even though I knew that they would absolutely love and support me in many ways, I also was really conscious of not causing any pain or any additional suffering if someone was already feeling wounded in that area. So yeah, so choosing who I shared with was quite a selective process, I suppose, especially in the first few weeks. Like, I found out when I was five or six weeks pregnant, and then it very soon after I found out, having had the panic of not feeling sick, not feeling tired, it very soon hit. having said that, not everybody does feel that. I have friends who have had like very few symptoms and have had amazing, healthy pregnancies. There's no one size fits all when it comes to pregnancy. There are many wives' tales and people will tell you lots of different things. But in my experience, it's so, so different. And I will talk about the nausea because it was a big key part of my pregnancy. But yeah, the initial first few weeks, like, I didn't really feel that different. But I think I have a slight theory in the nausea, because I did start to feel sick very quickly. And although I wasn't actually physically sick, I felt nauseous from morning to morning, basically 24 hours a day. Even I'd wake up in my sleep and feel sick. I had to position myself in bed so because I felt so nauseous. I had to have oat cakes by my bed ready for me to grab before I even like sat up properly in the morning. Otherwise, I just felt so sick. And one of my theories around the nausea is that a lot of it for me was enhanced by anxiety. Because one of the things that I feel when I'm anxious is nausea. So it was quite hard for me sometimes to differentiate whether it was sort of pregnancy nausea or anxiety nausea, or just everything was heightened because of the two. And the other thing that I think is that the nausea is so triggered by exhaustion. So if I rested more and surrendered to feeling unwell and actually laid down and slowed down and did very little, the nausea wasn't as bad. So those two things really did sort of, they kind of guided me. So I worked specifically actually with an acupuncturist to help with the nausea and the anxiety. Because by reducing my experiences of anxiety, and for that, for me, that meant knowing who I could speak to about things and having my safe sort of little small intimate group of people that I could talk to, but also managing my well-being through acupuncture, through making sure I went out for walks even when I felt awful, through being in nature as much as I could, through my meditation and breath work and really working on soothing my nervous system, that did help to a point my nausea. I also found a sort of spiral of feeling nauseous around eating, but actually, so then I'd end up not eating. But then actually not eating made the nausea worse. So once I kind of got over my fear of eating, because I was worried that it was going to make me sick, I then realized that actually constantly grazing, which is not really my normal way of eating, was actually better. And I would just like to say that I am a health coach. I have worked around the area of nutrition for quite a long time. I've always taken a lot of pride in what I eat and the way I eat. And during the first trimester of pregnancy, my eating habits consisted of salt and vinegar crisps, toast again, microwave or not even microwave, oven chips, fish fingers, basically nothing green. I completely was repelled by vegetables. The only thing that was green that I could eat was avocado and eggs. I could eat eggs. I could not even look at a piece of salmon. most of the things that I would normally, I couldn't even think about without feeling sick. And I did work with an amazing nutritionist, and she kind of put my mind at ease because she gave me suggestions for some really wonderful supplements, which meant I was getting everything I needed. But also she did say, you know, like in the first trimester, just eat what you can, just get what you can in. And a lot of people I spoke to who were nutritionists or working in that field were the same. So I didn't feel at first that was one of the things that was making me anxious, because I was like, I want to eat well so I can feed my baby well. But actually when I let go of that, it had another positive effect on me, that it helped me to get over some of my food control things, because a lot of the foods that I was craving, or not even craving, the only foods I could eat really, were the kind of foods that I had restricted from my diet for a long time. So I found it quite interesting and very healing actually in some ways, because that's something I've continued. I continued through pregnancy, I'm still continuing now, and I don't feel the same level of anxiety around eating certain things that I would have previously done. So that was a real gift actually. There is so much uncertainty in pregnancy in general, but in the first trimester, it is heightened. There is, you know, if often when things are not going to continue and the pregnancy is not going to stick, then that's the time when you will experience the loss. And there was a lot of fear around that for me. I found that I kind of built up a connection and a communication line with Sophia. And I actually knew that Sophia was Sophia the day I did the pregnancy test. I was absolutely 100% sure that she was a girl, and I knew it was Sophia because I'd been given this name in a dream previously before I'd even conceived her. So I knew it was her. So I had this communication line with her, and I would ask her if she was staying. I would consciously say to her, I would take some breaths, I would really connect in with my womb. And I would ask her if she was staying, and she said yes. That was quite reassuring to me. I don't know why, but I just would constantly stay connected. And every time the anxiety came up, whether she was or wasn't staying, I just asked her, are you staying? So I really found that quite reassuring to keep having that communication with her. One of the things that helped me with the nausea and with the connection with her was belly breathing and really focusing on softening through my tummy and imagining that air that I was breathing was sort of soothing my nausea and connecting me to my baby. So I would take really lovely, slow breaths in and then long breaths out through the mouth, really letting the air go out really slowly, and as if I was actually blowing a little thread out through my mouth. So a big deep breath in and a long breath out. And just using that breath to soothe my body, and particularly when I was feeling sick, just actually using the breath to sort of soften. Sounds weird, but to soften into my belly, to sort of soften literally my stomach, which just felt churny, sort of to think about the breath actually circulating into my belly and just soothing and easing all of that. The breaths were like sips of water, and actually sipping water was a huge help for me. I could not go anywhere without water, just sipping. And actually fizzy water was really helpful for me as well. Going back to the kind of things that I was worried about, I'll be honest, I was worried about miscarrying. I was worried about her not sticking around. I kept coming back to a trust that everything was unfolding as it was supposed to, but there was a part of me that had already attached to the idea of her being in my life, and it was really hard to not focus on that. But what I used to do is when the fear of her, of losing her came in, I would allow that fear to be there. And at first I found it made me worried that if I thought about it too much, about miscarrying, that I would kind of make it happen, which is just totally ridiculous. But I at first I would try and kind of just shove that fear away because I just didn't want to think about it. And I was worried if I thought about it, it would make it happen. But actually what I ended up doing, and I spoke to a few people and they resonated and they said, yeah, that is a fear. And I realized that I needed to honor that fear, and I needed to honor that there would be a lot of grief and there would be a lot of sadness if she wasn't to stay around, but that I trusted her to know whether she was supposed to be there or not. And I would let the feelings come up. I would honor the feelings. So I would see them, I would witness them. And then I would thank them for showing me that this is something that was important to me and that this was a fear and that it was protecting me. But then I wouldn't go into story about it. So I wouldn't then continually focus on that. And I've found that very useful actually as a mother now, to allow the fears that I have to come up, to worry, to for them to be there, to thank them, to know that they're there for a protective reason, but then not to fixate on them, not to make stories out of them, and not to create a narrative around them, if that makes sense. So honor them, know that it's totally natural to have those fears, and then move on. And when they come back again, because they often will, the same process. And that's the practice of coming back to trust, coming back to knowing that everything was unfolding as it was supposed to, even if that meant that she didn't stay. I had to come back to trust that. I had to know that was a fear of mine, but that actually by worrying about it and by over fixating on that story, it wasn't going to change the outcome. It wasn't going to change what was meant to happen. And that was something I still stand by now, and actually helps me in a lot of other areas of life. So this first trimester, it was pretty rocky, to be honest. I would say that I felt alone and isolated. I obviously had told certain people, family, close family, and close friends. But still, I felt like I was doing it alone. And even though I know thousands, millions of women were going through it at the same time as me, I felt so isolated. I felt lonely. I felt terrified. I felt sick. I felt tired. I felt scared. I felt I just wanted to come, someone to come and look after me. I felt I would liken it to feelings of almost feeling depressed and feeling so low. And that might sound very dramatic, but it's a really difficult time. It kind of took me away from human connection because I felt so unwell. I didn't want to share with so many people. So I kind of locked myself away. And that was really hard for me because I wanted to be around other people who understood, but then I couldn't tell people about it. And that felt so hard to do. It felt so, so scary and isolating. And I really struggled with it. And I mean, I did tell people, I told some other friends probably at about 10 weeks, because they were the kind of people that I would have told if she hadn't stayed around as well. So I chose people carefully still, and I was never going to do some, you know, huge, big announcement at that point. But that felt right for me. But of course, everyone has their own way of of sharing, and everyone has their own process with this. So it is a really, really difficult time. And I kept thinking, like, I just wish there was some sort of like secret group where you could be anonymous and just ask people if they were experiencing the same thing, but without telling anyone who you were or what you were going through. And I'm sure there probably are. But I want to share that it is a really challenging time in someone's life. There's not only the fears around how life is going to change, but there's the just this sense of isolation. It's a really lonely time. And so actually, you know, it's also the slowest time, those weeks, those days, those hours, especially when you're feeling nauseous or exhausted. And I feel very grateful that I didn't have to commute and go to a office job during that time, because I genuinely don't know if I could have done it. I was like, functioning was hard. And I have so much respect for anybody that gets on a train feeling like that, because wow, just, yeah, I think I had to get a train a couple of times in that first trimester to go to meetings. And oh, it was horrific. It was horrific. And I had full-on panic attack on the tube one time. I thought I was going to pass out and throw up on the tube. And that was only going up once. So anyone that does that on a regular basis, I have so much respect for you. I would say that the most useful things for me, the things that helped me the most at that time was my breath, nature, knowing who I could speak to, and some really amazing friends who cooked for me, who invited me round, who came and gave me a hug, who just listened to me. I cried many tears during that time. And all the time, I was so grateful to be experiencing this miracle. But equally, I felt horrific. I will not lie. One of the, you know, fears around being pregnant again would be to feel in that space again, because it was, as I said, it felt similar to the times in my life when I was actually, I would say, depressed or in very, very low moods anyway. And that in itself can bring up anxiety, because you feel like you're spiraling backwards into different sort of into the old versions of yourself, maybe. It was quite foggy. It was quite, you know, it felt like it was going on forever. And I did feel like I wanted to hide away from the world. But then I also know that that wasn't helpful to me at all as well. So yeah, it's a really strange place. And I really understand why they call it the invisible trimester. One of the things that I did find was helpful was actually stretching. It sounds weird again, but just connecting into my body, using my yoga, using my embodiment practices so gently. Like, I wasn't doing anything intense, I wasn't doing anything powerful or deep in terms of what my practice was doing, but I was just kind of opening up my upper body, because I think where I felt so tired and so sick, I was rounding through my shoulders, I was collapsing in my belly, and that was actually exacerbating the feeling of nausea and making me feel more sick. So just sitting tall and lengthening out through my tummy, just gently stretching, gently just kind of opening through my chest and rolling my shoulders, just so, so gentle. And as I said, meditation for me was really helpful at this point, because I didn't want to move in, you know, particularly strenuous ways. I just wanted to sit and focus on my breath and just focus on each breath at a time. And that's kind of how I got through the first trimester, was just focusing one breath at a time, just focusing on the next 5 minutes, the next hour, just getting through. It is kind of like survival. There is not really very much thriving in the first trimester, or it certainly wasn't for me. It was about getting through, staying as nourished as I could, resting as much. And I do think that actually the first trimester of pregnancy really helps you to surrender into rest for the rest of your pregnancy. Having said all this, there are many people that still do absolutely everything they did before and feel great. So this is just my experience, but most people I speak to do say that the first bit is horrific. And it was funny because a few people said to me, just wait till you get to this point, wait till you get to this point. And that actually helped keep me going because there was like hope that it wasn't going to last forever. And it definitely did ease. My nausea eased at around 10 to 12 weeks. I would say, and I was saying this to someone else the other day, that my nausea sort of hung around for most of my pregnancy, to be honest, and not in any way near what it was at the beginning. What it was at the beginning was like, it was like being unwell. I kept really focusing on the fact that I'm pregnant, I'm not ill, but I felt ill and I felt so tired. I was going to bed at like 7 o'clock and I was just, yeah, like the exhaustion just completely took over. And I guess the reason I want to record this episode and I wanted to share this experience was because I feel like we need to talk about this part of pregnancy a bit more, because it is such an unknown, because when you're in it, you don't tend to talk about it. And then once you're past it, you're talking about the next trimester. So there's sort of this, yeah, as I said, it's this invisible part of pregnancy, but it's actually the part where you probably feel the most vulnerable. You probably feel the most anxiety, the most uncertainty, the most anxious. You're adjusting to the fact that things are going to change. And no matter what happens in your pregnancy, like life will never be the same again. And it's really like, that's a big thing. Like, you're shedding layers of yourself and you're preparing for the rebirth of yourself, whatever happens next. And so it's just a part of pregnancy that I think is really important to talk about and share, because you just don't know, you know, especially if it's the first baby, you don't know what to expect. And now I have done this once. If I was to have another baby, I would have an awareness around what it feels like emotionally, energetically, physically, spiritually as well. But until until I was in that, I couldn't understand what it'd be like. So I just hope that by sharing this, it gives anybody that hasn't experienced it just a level of understanding. Anyone that's going through it, that the fact that they're not alone in this, even though you may feel really isolated at this point in time. And then people that have been through it that have maybe even felt guilt about feeling some of the emotions they did in the first trimester, to know that it's okay and that everything is welcome. All of the fears, all of the worries, all of the anxieties, all of the what ifs and the moments of like, what is going on? What, I don't understand what's happening to my body. I don't understand what's happening to my mind. All of that is all valid and is a part of the experience. And it did prepare me for the rest of pregnancy, but I won't lie, it wasn't a particularly pleasant place to be in, even though underlying all of that was a feeling of gratitude and a feeling of excitement. So I'm going to end that there, but I hope that this has just given some support, some insight into my experience of the first trimester, and to just to bring this conversation a little bit more online, because it's something that's really important to talk about. And I think talking about all of the transitions, it's a portal, it's a gateway, it's the beginnings of a huge journey of transformation. And just because it's quite quiet and you can't, you know, there's nothing visible, you don't have a bump, you can't sort of, you haven't got anything to show for it other than just feeling like shit, to be honest. So it's a really funny time to be in your life. So I just want to say that I see that and I witness that, and I send love to everybody going through that. And the excitement and the joy is part of those emotions, but also the sadness for the life that you know, that you're leaving behind in some ways, for the journey you've been on to get there. It might have been really, really difficult. There might be so much fear because of that journey, and it's all valid. It's all of your feelings are valid, and I think it's important to honor that process. I'm going to leave it there today, and if you have any questions, if you want support, if you need to talk to someone, then please reach out. Please just know that you're not alone, and even though you might feel isolated, then there are many, many areas of support that you can get. And I wish you so much love and adventure in what comes next. I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.